I was off duty one day in this bar in Washington Heights. The cops didn't have to pay for their drinks. And a couple of guys came out to rob the place. Chased them up to the street, shot two dead. Got a third one in the leg.
Why aren't you a cop no more?
You see, one shot, well, bullet took a bad hop. I do favors for people. In return, they give me gifts. So, what can I do for you?
Someone's kidnapped my wife. I pay them, but they killed her anyway. I want you to find the men who did this and bring them to me.
Whoever it was took your wife.
I'm conflicted right about now, because I just saw a movie with Liam Neeson in it, and he only threw a punch one time. I don't know how to feel about that right about now. I was expecting some Liam Neeson badassery, but instead I got a quiet piece from him, where he spoke his mind about drinking and stuff, but I'm here talking about A Walk Among the Tombstones, which I gotta say right off the bat, that is a badass title, and only someone of Liam Neeson's take should be in something with a badass title like that. Quick plot synopsis, if you will. So we open up in I forgot what year it was, 70 something, but Liam Neeson plays Matt Scooter, FBI agent, of course. We find out that he's an alcoholic, pretty much. Goes to a bar where cops obviously get free drinks and stuff like that on while he was on his day off or off patrol or whatever it was. About three men come in, open fire right on the bartender. They say one thing to him. He didn't even get to speak. As soon as he tries to speak, they blast him right in the fucking heart. Liam Neeson drops his gun, chases after him. Pops, I mean, damn, this dude don't give a fuck. Just pop two of their asses as soon as he walks out. Chases one down the street, shot his ass in the leg. But, and then we get to 1999, where after it shows that now, we then later in the movie have a flashback and found out that he shot this little girl as when he shot one of these guys, the bullet went right through one of them and hit a little girl right in the eye, 7 years old to be exact. And that's when he's been 10 years. A couple of years passed by, and we found out that he retired himself from the force, gave up drinking, goes to these AA meetings now, and he pretty much became a private eye investigator. Put his gun away and everything. Doesn't even use guns no more. Why the fuck Liam Neeson ain't Batman? Now, I just thought about that now watching this movie. He did more detective work in this movie than fucking Batman has done in the past. How many goddamn Batman movies? 7 movies? Anyway, that's not off the bat, though, here. So, we then get introduced to a drug lord. Not even a drug lord. He's not definitely a drug lord. I mean, he's slinging drugs, but he pretty much hires him, Liam Neeson, as a PI to find out the men who kidnapped his wife and pretty much murdered her and took his $400,000. Liam Neeson refuses until... Man, this guy, I don't even remember the actor. I think it was, it was Maurice Compte, played Danny Ortiz in the film. This dude is shedding emotion like a motherfucker. I mean, how could you not take the man's job? He also left a little tape recorder also so he could hear the recordings of when they were torturing his wife and stuff. And I was like, yeah, you got no choice but to take this job. So he takes it, and we spend the movie mostly just... pretty much following Liam Neeson solving clues and putting pieces together and interacting with some little black bastard who I can't stand in the movie, actually. He actually kind of took me out of the movie a little bit. And yeah, you might remember him from Earth to Echo, if you will. But, and then you know what? He gets his revenge. I don't know. He murders everybody. That's the goddamn review right there. So, let me go ahead and get into... what I liked about the film. The technical aspects of the film, fucking amazing. It was on that level of Killing Them Softly or what was that movie I saw, like Out of the Furnace. Two movies that had potential of being way better than what they were, but dropped the ball on so many levels that I think this one followed in that realm of hitting those perfect. I mean, when you hear a gun goes off in this film, a gun goes off. When someone throws a punch, it sounds gruesome and gruel. I mean, it sounds realistic. Like, you almost feel each punch or each shot to go with it, or a scream or anything like that. So sound effects in here was fucking amazing. Liam Neeson, like I said, man, I've seen almost every, I've seen every Batman adaptation there is, from the animated shows to Justice League to all his live action movies to the animated movies itself. And it just baffles me now. It's like, why isn't Liam Neeson Batman at this point? Because damn, the shit he does in here is all Batman-esque. I mean, he was the perfect man to train that man, to be honest. Like I said, he's done more detective work than I've seen in the past 7 Batman movies in this film alone. What's another thing I like? The story starts off pretty good. I mean, they don't hold back on showing you any kind of gruesome torture. I mean, like, the when you later, somewhere in the middle of the film where they show that he shot the little girl when he's telling his story of why he quit becoming a cop. And when you see the mom holding that girl and the blood in her eyes and stuff like that, I was like, holy shit, I felt it. I think every kill in this movie, you feel the weight of its death on it, because it's so fucking brutal and gruesome here that the movie tends not to hold back on showing you, hey, like, these guys aren't no joke. Matter of fact, the movie sets up these villains, which are played by David Harbour and... I don't know the other one. If I'm not mistaken, I believe it was Adam David Thompson who plays Albert in the film. These two guys are set up to be badasses. I mean, you're supposed to fear them pretty much. And to prove to a fact to you that they're supposed to be feared, when Liam Neeson gets a hold of a guy that may have helped them commit one of the murders, even though he didn't know what the fuck he was getting himself into, he was just kind of playing a dumbass. Liam Neeson's like, hey, man, it's cool. It's cool, man. Just, you know what? Take me to that bar you met him at. I'd like to go to this bar, see if I can get any clues or something like that. That guy looks at him and goes like, yeah, okay. Then jumps right off the fucking roof. I was like, holy shit. I mean, these dudes must be terrifying if these motherfuckers, are jumping off rooftops because they don't want them to find out, hey, I told this guy about you. And then when you finally see the bad guys, which I said is David Harbour, you go like, oh, Van Housing from End of Watch. That's cool. Oh, all he does is talk shit all the time or whatever. I was like, oh, how could you be afraid of someone like that? Personally, he would have to be batshit crazy in order for you to jump yourself off a roof like that, but I digress. You see the little fucked up killings they do, and you just kind of like, oh. It's one of those movies where the setup and the opening of it is damn near fucking excellent, if you will, because you're so enthralled with it now. You're like, they got the premise going. Okay, let's see how this thing's up. And then once they start to reveal things slowly, you kind of lose interest by going like, these are the guys people are afraid of and stuff like that. Oh, wow. The villains here... I didn't like the villains at all. I thought they were just weak. They served what they needed to do, but I was like, eh, I really don't care for them. I really didn't know any of their motivations. David Harbour, it looked like they used to be former DEA agents who just had an obsession with capturing drug addicts, or not even drug addicts, drug dealers, if you will, and just pretty much holding them up for ransom. So, I mean, I guess that's something. We were on the verge of the Y2K in this film, so I don't know. Maybe they were just stacking money up for that, I guess. One thing I hated about the film, and it's not even the villains so much. The villains were okay. I didn't really care for them that much, but it's nothing where I was like, they took me out of the movie. They took me out of that premise, but they didn't take me out of the movie. One of the people I did hate, fucking Astro. That's his real fucking name. He plays TJ, in the movie. And if you don't remember him, he was the little black boy in Earth to Echo. This dude comes in here with the most bougie ass fuck. I could have sworn he was British. I thought he was British. But he comes in here with this hard talking New York accent and stuff like that. And he's speaking black slang throughout the whole fucking film. And mind you, you know, one scene you first see him, you're thinking like, oh, okay, that's cute. They gave him this little one scene. That motherfucker's in the whole goddamn movie talking that shit. And part of you just go like, he's the only nigga in this whole damn town. But not only that, he's the only nigga in this town talking like that. So he was the main thing that took me out of the movie as much. Every time he opened up his damn mouth and his subplot story of his mom leaving him and stuff like that, he growing up on the streets and stuff, it served absolutely no purpose in the movie. I figured they could have took him out of the movie and just, it would have went along just fine. The best thing of the movie for me, it's got to be once a daughter of this Russian drug dealer gets kidnapped and they hire Liam Neeson for it. And he's going back and forth negotiating with these guys on the phone call. Matter of fact, I even have a clip for you guys, which I thought was the funniest one of them all, to be honest. It had me dying. I was like, damn, Liam Neeson just don't give a fuck. Because he was straight up telling the dude, look, your daughter's dead already. Don't pay no money. She's gone. I was like, damn, dude, subtlety, brother, subtlety. But let me go ahead and play this clip for you guys.
No police. You have to help me. And I said you would. I beg. I'll do whatever you ask.
Dude is begging him.
Please.
I give you whatever you want there. Please, please, please.
You're crying like a little bitch right now.
She's dead. You get nothing.
Liam Neeson taking the phone.
The best chance you've got is when I get your money. The girl's got to be alive and all in one piece for any kind of deal to happen. Are you listening, motherfucker?
Don't give a fuck. I mean... I was like, Jesus Christ, you just barely started talking to this dude and already calling him a motherfucker and shit like that. I don't think it's Liam Neeson's... clearly, it's not Liam Neeson's best movie. But it has those generic cliches that you see happen. But it does offer Liam Neeson one of his most compelling roles I've seen him in today. I think the style of the film takes him places where you never see him before. Like I said, he's only thrown one punch in the whole movie. And it was a really quick shot of it, too. But the rest of it is really just him handling with this situation. There was a directing, because this is directed by, who's this? Scott Frank. And obviously this is based off a novel as well, which I didn't know that until. But Scott Frank did, Marley and Me, The Lookout, Minority Report. And my favorite movie out of him was either Out of Sight or Dead Again. I can't remember if he did both or one. I don't remember at all. But I think he offers something more to Liam Neeson here than just beating up a group of guys in here and stuff like that. You actually do see Liam Neeson dealing with the murders of these cases and handling pretty much a lot of dialogue scenes in here, because it really is a slow-paced film, which I don't know if this is for anyone, because the trailer persuades it as if it is one of those Liam Neeson action films, and you really don't get that. I was, after my screener was over, I was telling my girlfriend, yeah, you probably glad you didn't go with me, because you probably would have fell asleep in most scenes. It did kind of drag on a little bit by bringing TJ in, or Astro, whatever the fuck his retarded ass name is, but I thought... When you took that out, I thought you had a compelling crime story. The thing is, though, it felt like, besides the technical work, it felt like this was something made for home. I kind of got that vibe off of it watching it. I don't think it was nothing you need to rush out and see, but I thought it was, as far as it was, Liam Neeson's best role. One of his best roles. One of his most memorable roles, at least, where he's not beating up a bunch of guys. It was... The thing that hurt the movie the most, and not so much TJ, it was more of, as the movie went along, a lot more of these clues and the mystery of it got explained a little bit more, and you start meeting characters that were talked about and were pumped up to be some high-profile person, and then when you see him, you're just like, oh, it's just that guy. Oh, okay. Oh, that's nothing right there. There's no motivation here. I don't get why they're doing this. But like I said, Liam Neeson carries the film, and it does get interesting to see him in these positions where he's relied to act more than beat somebody's ass. And another thing is too, I'll give the director another choice here, another compliment here is I liked his style of filming, but there was one scene in particular I liked. Everybody knows there in AA there's a 12-step program, and before the last shootout, if you will, he went back to an AA meeting to, you know, I guess, wash away his sins. And slowly the movie was, they had this girl reading off the 12 sins slowly as before he either shot someone or did something like that. I thought that was an interesting technique. It actually looked pretty cool. Some of it was done in slow motion, and then it kept flashing back to her reading the 12. Or sometimes you just hear her in the background as Liam Neeson was shooting someone. So I thought that was a really interesting concept that they threw in there, and a really cool shot that they did. Even the ending, you know, I actually like the ending a lot too. I was satisfied with the ending, which obviously ends in a shootout. Liam Neeson not giving a fuck like always. I mean, before he shot this last dude, the last dude was just like, I just want to pow. I was like, God damn. I thought he was going to keep him alive and take him to jail or something like that. But no, Liam Neeson's like, I don't have time for fucking jail. You just get shot in the fucking head. And you die right now, and that's what you do. And I go back home, and I don't want... Liam Neeson just looked like he's tired of this shit. He's just like, look, I didn't want no part of this shit, but you put me in this shit, so now you gotta fucking die. And that's the story of Liam Neeson's life. But my question is, when the fuck is Liam Neeson just gonna be Batman already? Because I that's all I could think of when I watched this film. When will Liam Neeson be Batman?
Afraid of all the wrong things. I once heard in the family just body parts.